Hey, where's my love?
Okay. Kevin rocks!
Thanks. Thanks. Hey, I want to tell you a group in here that rocks, and that is the 8th graders. Give it up for the 8th graders. Woo! Because tonight happens to be your very last Q&A buffet. And we're sad about that, but we're also very excited for you guys to move up into high school, because high schools in Albuquerque need some really awesome people like you. So I'm excited for you guys. Courtney, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good.
Doing all right?
Yes.
You guys asked some great questions today. Who asked a good question? Yeah? Did you ask one? You did already, or you have one? You did. Good. Okay, good. If it involved ice cream, I threw it in the trash. Okay, I gotcha. Gotcha covered. Okay, well, tonight, if you don't know how this works, basically what we're going to do is we have a bunch of your questions that you asked. And by the way, actually, you don't have to wait till Q&A buffet to ask questions. On the back of your bulletin or menu tonight, there's not a portion on your menu tonight since we're in Q&A, but normally on your bulletin, there's a little spot at the bottom that says prayer requests and questions. And so if you have a question, you can always write it down, put it in the black box, we'll answer it online, or you can just come talk to us, because we would love to answer your questions in person. So don't be scared of us. Courtney, anything to add to that?
It just never fails me, guys, that every time we come to Velocity or we're just in a group amongst each other, like, it's crazy because we have such a neat thing going here. We can hang out with each other. We can pray for each other. And just know, guys, when it comes to questions and whatever is going on with your lives, with our lives, we are here for one another. So you guys need to know that, okay, that we're here to encourage each other and to pray for you guys, okay? And that's what we're all about here. So I want to let you guys know that, and know that it's possible that the people that you're sitting beside could be going through something pretty intense in their lives, and we here at Velocity have the opportunity to be the hands and the feet of Jesus, okay? And that's a really cool thing. I just want you guys to think about that.
All right. Well, let's get started with our first question. There's a little bit of space on the back of your bulletin if you want to write down questions and answers or verses that we say or whatever. We'll put the questions up here on the screen as we go. And we're going to do our best. We got about, I think, 8 questions to answer tonight, so should be good. First off, this goes out to all the 8th graders, but of course anybody else that this pertains to. This question says, I'm going to a new school, and I'm a bit worried about going. I won't have anyone to talk to. What can I do? Okay, now John chapter 17, if you want to write that down or turn there in your Bibles. I love John chapter 17 because it's Jesus praying. Now, if you think about what, we pray for a bunch of different things, some of them very valid concerns, others of them maybe not so valid, but God still tells us we should pray for stuff. But, you know, if you want to know what is really important, I think one of the best places to turn in the Bible is the things that Jesus himself was praying about. Don't you think those must have been pretty important things? I mean, if Jesus, God in human flesh, was praying about them, they must have been pretty important. Don't you guys think? Would anybody agree with me on that one? Yeah? Okay, 3 people. All right. Well, I think they're very important. John chapter 17, though, really cool passage. He prays for himself. He begins then in verse 6 to pray for his current disciples. And then when you get to verse 20, it says that he prays for all believers. So basically, anybody from that point on, Jesus was praying for. You know what's cool about that? Verses 20, if you're in John chapter 17, verses 20 through 26 are Jesus praying for you. Okay, just try to think about that. About 2,000 years ago, Jesus, God in human flesh, was on the earth, and he was in the Garden of Gethsemane right before he was betrayed and murdered, and he was thinking and praying for you and me and Courtney. That's awesome. I love that. I love that Jesus took that time. But one of the things that he talks about is the fact that that we are in the world, but we should not allow the world to be in us, okay? Verse 14 in John chapter 17, he's speaking about his current disciples, the 12 guys. He says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And then he says this, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So that's where the saying, have you guys ever heard the saying, be in the world, but not of the world? Have you guys heard that before? That's kind of where this comes from. Jesus says they're in the world, but they should not be of the world, just like I am not of the world. Okay, let me get this into your minds here. How many of you guys have seen a picture of the Titanic? You guys know what I'm talking about? Gigantic boat, right? In fact, when it was built, it was like the top of the top. This was where the elite, rich, wealthy people like myself and Courtney would go sailing, okay? Now, they would get... My wife laughed like we're not rich or something. I won't prove it because I don't want to make you guys feel poor. But anyways, big Titanic, right? Now, here's the cool thing about the Titanic. It was cool by itself, big, nice ship, right? The water, the ocean, nice body of water. It was cool by itself. You take the ship, the Titanic. You put the ship in the water. Fantastic. That's where it should be, right? Now, if you put the water in the ship, then there's a problem. Would you agree? Anybody else? That's a problem. That's what eventually killed hundreds of people because water got in the ship. And here's what I'm trying to get at. Us in the world is exactly how it was designed to be. The ship in the water was exactly how it was designed to be. It was supposed to be there. But it was when the water got into the ship that it became dangerous. And it's when the world gets into us that it becomes dangerous. And so Jesus, just like he prayed for his 12 disciples, I believe those words go right along with what he was thinking for us as well. That we are in the world, but we should not be of the world like them. And so what I want to challenge you guys is when you guys go to your school, going to a new school, many of you, some of you just moving up grades, many of you though going into high school or whatever and you're going into a new school, it can be very intimidating. I know I've done it for many years of my life. But here's the great thing. Every school you go into is another chance for you to tell more people about Jesus. And I like to kind of think of it like Paul. Paul in the book of Philippians, he was writing the book of Philippians to a bunch of people who were pretty upset that Paul was in prison. They were worried for him, praying for him. And the cool thing that Paul said was that I get to minister to people. I get to preach the gospel to people who normally I never even get to talk to. But because God allowed me to be here, people have come to know the Lord because of that. And so, sure, maybe going to a new school is a little uncomfortable sometimes, but picture it as though God has allowed you to be there so that more people can go to heaven because of that. So don't let your school get into you, but be in your school and show them what a Christian really lives like, just like Jesus would have prayed in John 17.
It also reminds me of Romans 12, verse 2. It says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the word of God in it, renewing your mind. And so the same thing. Don't go into a school and conforming to it, but just like here right now and being taught God's word, let that transform your mind and transform who you are. Okay, next question is somewhere in my Bible.
He's gonna find it. There it is.
There it is.
Good job.
Okay, guys. If someone tries to kill themselves, but they don't do it, will they go to hell? So the issue of suicide, and if someone were to think that their life was hopeless and they couldn't do anything about it, and so the only possible solution was to end their lives. Well, basically, it's you know what the Bible says that it's sin. It's when we choose not to have a relationship with God. Instead, we choose to go and do our own thing. It's when we say, God, I don't want you, but instead I want to do what I want to do. And I don't want to place my belief in Jesus. I don't want to make him the Lord of my life. That's the very thing that sends someone to hell. It's not by God saying, you're going to hell and you're not going to hell. It's the fact that we choose. God, I love one man told me that God is a gentleman. And he doesn't force his love on us, and he doesn't force us to do anything. And so we have a choice in the matter, and it's when we choose not to believe in God. And that's what sends us to hell. So it's not even if someone were to say, it's hopeless. I can't do this anymore, and so I'm going to end my life. But I want you guys to think about this, because I think it's kind of a common theme that is amongst this generation to think that if I could just actually end my life, then I wouldn't have any worries. But have we actually thought about what is in store for us after this life? We have the reality of hell or heaven. I think we like to think that we're just gonna kill ourselves and then we have no worries. Nothing else happens. Well, I want to talk to you a little bit about hell. See, the Bible tells us a few things about hell. One word for hell is Gehenna. Have you guys ever heard that? Gehenna. And what it was actually a trash pit in Israel. It was where they would take all of their trash, and they would even take dead bodies, and they would go and burn them in Gehenna. And there was always a continual burning in this place. And we're also told in the Bible that it's eternal torment, and it's punishment. It's separation from God. And so to think that there is comfort in ending this, no, there's not. It just brings about more heartache. It brings about an eternal hopelessness, an eternal punishment. And so when we think that we could end whatever we're feeling right now, it's not true. It just takes on a different facet once you try to take your life in your own hands.
All right. Let's go on to the next question here. This question, probably many of you have dealt with the pain of something similar to this. It says, my friend's dad left our family for another person. It really depressed my friend since his dad was his role model. How do I help him? Great question. Write down or turn to Psalm 27, verse 10. Psalm 27, verse 10. Now, I won't have you raise your hands, but statistically, more than half of you in this room have dealt with a family member leaving, specifically divorce. And in fact, if we were to represent it in here tonight, let's do this. I need this whole section right here to stand up right where you are. And then I need everybody sitting on the floor and the front row to stand up right here. Statistically, in this room, this many people has their families have gone through divorce. Isn't that crazy? You guys can grab a seat. It's a lot of people. Look around. Think about how many people that is. I read some interesting statistics about it. One, in the year 2000, single-parent families, there were over 12 million single-parent families in the United States. And I also have this book. It's called The Day America Told the Truth. And it's pretty interesting. The subtitle is What People Really Believe About Everything That Really Matters. And basically what they did is they went out and did a survey that was completely confidential, so that everybody taking this survey could tell the absolute, complete truth. And they asked them some pretty shocking questions. And one of the questions that they asked was, what would you be willing to do for $10 million? Okay? And they gave them a list of things. Check this out. According to this survey, and this was done in the 1990s, so it's about 10 years old, but for $10 million, 25% of the people who took this survey would abandon their whole family for $10 million. 25% of them. 16% of these people would leave their spouse to receive $10 million. 3% of these people would put up their own children for adoption to receive $10 million. Can you believe that? That's the world we live in. And the reality is, there are going to be a lot of times in life where you get let down. Where, whether it's your family, whether it's your mom, your dad, your brother, sister, whether it's a friend, a teacher at school, wherever or whatever it might be, there's going to be a lot of times in life where people just let you down. We're not perfect. None of us are. And because of that, we make mistakes. People break promises. And of course, we should try our absolute best not to do that. The Bible says to let our yes be yes and our no, no. But a lot of times people don't follow through on that. And because of that, they'll make promises to God and to other humans saying, I'm going to stay married to you for richer or for poorer, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health. And yet the moment that person can't get off their bed because they're so sick and the medical bills are piling up, or they're not attracted to that person anymore and so they go sleep with somebody else. Whatever the circumstance may be, they're gone and they break that promise. And I personally know, like many of you do, the pain of my family, specifically my parents, splitting up. It's terrible. It happened to me only about 6 years ago. And it was the hardest thing I've ever gone through. But God was always there. And the verse, let me just remind you of a verse that I've shared in here before, but this verse brings me so much comfort. It's Psalm 27, verse 10. It says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Oh, I love that. I love that God promises in His Word that no matter who leaves us, He's never going to. And that even if the people that birthed you, that brought you into this world, the people that oftentimes you trust the absolute most in your whole life, even those people, if they are to turn their back on you, God never will. And the Bible says that the Lord will take care of you. So here's the deal. Whoever wrote this question, and I understand you're trying to be there for your friend, one of the best things you can do is pray for him. I know that sounds like the pastor advice. Oh, just pray for him. But I'm not just saying that because that's what I should say. I'm saying that because that's the most powerful thing you can do for them, is pray for them. A lot of people think, get this idea in their head that I gotta be doing something. I gotta try to fix this problem or fix this relationship or mend this issue. One of the best ways you can do that is to pray for that person. So start there. Also just be there to talk to them so that they can vent to you and tell you how they feel and cry. Because a lot of times that's some of the most healing times, is when that person just has somebody that they can trust. Be that person that they can trust, that they can turn to, that they know if it's in the middle of the night, they can call you and say, hey, I'm not feeling good. I, you know, maybe even suicide sometimes. And they know that they can call you and talk to you and you will pray with them. Be there for that person, but just remind them. I would encourage you to share this verse with them. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. I don't know about you, for those of you who have gone through the pain of a family splitting up, but that brings so much comfort to me to know that God's always there for us.
This next question kind of goes along with that. The question is, my parents want me to be perfect. I try hard, but they don't see. What should I do? And the fact of the matter is, guys, that we all go through struggles. And I think we could all agree to that. Just like what Kevin just talked about, the struggles of fathers and mothers splitting up, and we experience a lot of different things. And I think even a struggle of when we try, but it seems like it's never good enough. Have you guys ever felt like maybe like even within your friendship or within your relationships with your family that you try, you honestly try, but they never see it as good enough? I know I've experienced that. And you know what happens? We start to look at ourselves and we start to think and to question, am I really that way? Do I really not match up? Do I really not try hard enough? is there really a reason for people to seem to not like me or to not love me because I'm not good enough? And I think we've all had those thoughts go through our minds. Well, in the book of James, we learn a lot about trials. We learn a lot about struggles. We learn a lot about the fact that as humans, that we're not exempt from going through things, but actually, as Christians, we tend to go through more things. But the cool thing is that God says, even in the midst of those trials, I'm going to be there with you. I have a plan for you. I have an agenda for you to where I'm going to show myself faithful. But let me read what it says here in James chapter 1, starting in verse 2. He says, my brethren, he says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And he says this, knowing that the testing of your faith, it produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And so for you guys who've experienced from your parents, you're just not, it would seem that that you're just not good enough. Your grades just don't match up. Your personality, the way you dress, the things you do, it doesn't quite meet their criteria for your life. Know this, that in this life, we go through struggles, and sometimes we even experience that with our parents and with our close friends and with family. But James says here that when you go through these things, that God is perfecting you as a person. He says that he will perfect you and complete you. And so in this, don't be discouraged, but be encouraged, because through this, you're being perfected. And the very thing that you think would be like, wow, I'm imperfect, I'm no good. And through this trial, God says, I will perfect you. I will do great things through you. I will give you amazing character. I could even say for my life right now that honestly, this week, even today, I've gone through some struggles. I've seen a glimpse of who I am and I didn't like it. And it was hard. But you know what? Through that, I know that God is producing character. He's producing patience in me, and he is going to perfect me and to make me who he wants me to be.
All right. Okay, and just to add to that a little bit too, I was reminded of the verse in John chapter 14 where Jesus promises that he's going to send the Holy Spirit. When Jesus leaves, the Holy Spirit's going to come. And so the disciples start to freak out. And they're like, well, where are we going to go? And how can we follow you? And how do we know the way? And you guys probably remember the famous verse. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then later on, he says, when I leave, another is going to come. And I love what they call the Holy Spirit. They call him the helper. Cool thing about God is that he doesn't ever leave us without help. You know, and here we are talking about your parents wanting you to be perfect, and God has this standard for us as well. And sometimes we feel kind of helpless, but the great thing about God is he's never going to leave us hanging, you know. And some of you guys have left somebody hanging at some point before in your life. I remember one time I did that to my sister. Let me tell you how mean of a brother I was. We used to ride our bikes to school. It was just right down the street, a few blocks. It would take us a good 15 minutes to get there and 15 minutes home. And I was told by my mom that I needed to stay right by my sister. So we rode to school together that day. And then at the end of school, she came up to me crying, pushing her bike. She said, Kevin, my tire's flat. Now, if I was a nice brother, I would have said, oh, I'm sorry, sister, right? Or I would have helped air up her tire or walked my bike home with her. No, I chose not to do any of that. I chose to ride my bike home and leave her stranded at school. I was what I would like to call a jerk, okay? And I got home and my mom was like, where's your sister? Oh, her tire's flat. I left her at school. What? Get in the car! You guys know what I'm talking about? That angry yell? And I got busted for that. Well, here's the deal. Great thing about God is he never leaves us hanging. He's always there to help us. And there's going to be a lot of expectations put on you in life, but don't worry, because God's given us everything he needs. In fact, the Bible tells us he's given us everything we need for life and for godliness. Great thing about God. Okay, let's go on to the next question. Actually, this is two that we're going to tie together because they go onto a similar subject. Oh, I'm sorry. Actually, one more thing before I get there. I meant to mention this book. It's called Be Intolerant. It's by Ryan Dobson. And it's a great book for those of you. I was thinking about it, for that first question, going up to a new school. It's a great book to read about being intolerant, which basically means not letting other people's beliefs get into your belief system. And, it's a real easy read, pretty cheap over in the bookstore. I think it's like $8 or $10, but it's called Be Intolerant by Ryan Dobson. So I challenge you to pick that up if you're interested. Okay, let's go on to these next couple questions. One is this: if you have sex only to make a baby, but outside of marriage, is it still a sin? Next question, is it okay to have sex if you know you're going to get married? Now, here's the great thing about Q&A Buffet. I love that you guys can ask these questions because this is real. This is what many of you are really thinking about or have questions about or people may be doing at school or have questions for you at school about. The first question says, if you have sex only to make a baby, but it's outside of marriage, is it still a sin? Well, let's just quickly define what the Bible says about that. Okay? Let me give you a big word. You can write this down if you'd like. Fornication. Fornication. Okay? It's spelled F-O-R-N-I-C-A-T-I-O-N. Fornication. And it means sexual intercourse between partners who are not married to each other. Who are not married to each other. Now, let me read you what the Bible says about that very word. Matthew chapter 15, verse 17. This is Jesus speaking. Do you not yet understand that what enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries. Here's the key word, fornications. Thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. And so what he's talking about here is these Pharisees who have come up with all these laws and they're trying to challenge Jesus about the way he does things. And he says, guys, calm down. It's not what you're doing on the outside that makes you unclean. It's the fact that those actions come from inside. It's the things inside that become evident by your outward actions that defile you. That's the problem. And he says one of those things that come from our heart is fornication, sexual immorality, any kind of sex outside of marriage. And I think that kind of helps answer both questions. The second one is it okay to have sex if you know you're going to get married? No, absolutely not. Let me give you one just very, very applicable reason why that is. One great example. Perfect example in my own life. Before I was married to Jen, I was dating a girl that I was sure I was going to marry. Now, thankfully, we didn't say, oh, well, you know, I'm sure we're going to get married, so we might as well go ahead and have sex. No, thankfully, we didn't go that far. Now here's the thing. You never know the people that you're with. And until you have made that decision, that commitment before the Lord, that person is the only person for you, and you've made that commitment and you are married, it is absolutely wrong and you are sinful to have sex. Any kind of sexual relationship with that person. Anything at all. Outside of marriage is wrong. Okay? Now let me pose it to you a different way. The question again, is it okay to have sex if you know you're going to get married? No. Now let's think through this logically. Okay? Now, how many of you guys have ever broken a bone? Okay? Okay, nice. How many of you guys were wearing a cast while you broke your bone? Anybody? Okay, a couple of you. All right. Now, why is it that those of you who broke a bone didn't already have a cast on? I mean, weren't you sure at some point in your life you were going to break a bone? I mean, shouldn't you have taken some caution and put a cast on? I mean, come on. You're going to break a bone at some point in your life, right? Think about it this way. You're like, you know, how many guys have like a little brother or sister? Anybody? Okay, imagine your little brother or sister, 5 years old, go to the store. Hey, Mom, I need a new pair of shoes. Mom says, okay, grab the ones that you want. And they bring little five-year-old kid, like this tall, brings a size 13 shoe. Okay? Your mom's like, what are you doing? Go put those back. Find something that you can fit into. And the kid's like, no, I know I'm going to grow, so I might as well go ahead and buy the shoes, right? Does that make any sense at all? No, not at all. You don't buy the shoes until you get there. You don't have sex until you're married. It's that simple. You don't do that until you've made that commitment, right? And so it's important, you know, think about it. Every person that's ever been born dies at some point. So is it okay to kill yourself because eventually you're going to die? No, that doesn't make any sense at all. Well, I'm going to die one of these days. I might as well get it over with now. Wrong. Just because you're going to grow doesn't mean you buy too big of shoes. Just because probably there's a chance you're going to break a bone doesn't mean you need to walk around in a body cast, okay? Just because you think you're going to marry that person does not ever give you license to have a sexual relationship with them outside of marriage. Jesus says that that is what defiles a person. And it's that sin living inside of your heart. In fact, Jesus, I love this, he would take it as far as to say in Matthew chapter 5 that if someone even looks at another person in a lustful way, they have already committed adultery with them in their hearts. It goes much further beyond a physical act. It's even your motives behind what you're doing. It's the way you look at that person even that can be sinful. And so all of us, we're wired to be attracted to the opposite sex, but be patient, wait. One day that person will be out there for you, and when you've made that commitment, God has created sex for inside of marriage, but never for outside of marriage. And that's why we have diseases and so many other consequences that God never intended to be a part of sex, but that is unfortunately one of the consequences. A great book about lust and sex is by Joshua Harris. It's called Sex is Not the Problem, Lust Is. And they sell us over there in the bookstore. Fantastic book about lust. If you've ever struggled with lust, or you are, or you think you might be, this is a great idea to go out and buy it and hopefully prevent yourself from a lot of bad consequences down the road.
Okay, guys. Reincarnation. What does the Bible say about reincarnation? Well, to be honest, it really doesn't say anything about reincarnation because it really doesn't exist. But reincarnation is the belief that after you die, you will come back as something else. It could be anything from a goat or a cow, a mosquito, but you will be reincarnated into something else. And you will continually be reincarnated in this life until you become what you're supposed to be. And so this whole idea of reincarnation, and what does the Bible say about maybe this topic? Well, I do know what the Bible does say about life after death. And one verse comes to my mind. It's in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And it says this, "And it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." It doesn't say it's appointed to men to die once and then they're reincarnated into a goat to try it again. And maybe they can be a better goat instead of a better person this time. Doesn't work that way. He says you die once and then you face judgment. You die once and then you face God. And you will be either going to eternity in heaven or you will go to eternity in hell. It also says... Well, I also think of a story when Jesus was on the cross, and you guys have seen it. You have Jesus on a cross, and you have a cross beside him, and a cross on the other side of him. And this one man goes, he basically professes to believe in Jesus. And Jesus says, you know what? Because of your belief in me, that today, when we both die on this cross, you will be in paradise with me. There's no other opportunities, guys. There's no other second chances. This is it. We have maybe, 80 years if you're lucky? This is it. There's no reincarnating into something else and coming back and trying it over. God has given us this life, and we need to take full potential of it and to invest in what God has given us. And so reincarnation, we die once, and then we see God. All right? And just like the man on the cross, God said, when you die today, because you're hanging on this cross, you will be with me in paradise.
Yeah, and did you guys know that, what is it, Hindus? Do they believe in reincarnation?
Yeah,
Hinduism believes that if you're really good in this life, then you'll often be reincarnated as a cow. And that's why they won't eat cows, because they think it could be like their great-grandpa or something. Can you imagine? Now, let's be honest. Some of our great-grandpas kind of... Well, never mind. We won't go there. But here's the thing. I love Q&A Buffet because we turn to the Bible. And I just want to remind you guys that, you know, Courtney and I don't have any great answers for you guys apart from God's Word. And if you guys just asked us all these questions, we wouldn't have much to say if I didn't have the Bible. I mean, I could give you a lot of, you know, probably advice, and I could ramble on and on about my own ideas. But if we don't turn to the Bible, then pretty much anything Courtney and I say doesn't really matter in the long run, yeah. Right?
Right.
I mean, you're a smart guy and all, don't get me wrong, but God's Word really gives us everything that we need. So I just want to challenge you guys. Great thing about the Bible is that you don't need us to tell it to you. And if you guys were in this last year of Momentum, you guys learned hands-on how to study the Bible. You guys saw and felt in your small groups what it felt like to really grasp the Bible for yourself and to dive into it. And I want to challenge you guys to do that on your own time. Each day, we really need to be spending that time in the Word and in prayer, because God should be our best friend. And make sure that you commit that time to Him. The great thing, here's what I'm getting at. God's Word has everything we need. And there's never a question that you have that God's Word can't answer for you. So turn there. It's got everything you need.
Can I answer one more question really quick?
Go for it.
Okay. So anyways, I had a chance to hang out with one of my friends this weekend. I was in Indiana, and I was just sharing with him my life, and he knows that, you know, sometimes we go through hard times, and sometimes we don't have as much money as other times. I'm sure you guys' families have experienced that. And I actually was thinking about, you know, if I were to tell my friend that I was struggling and that I needed something, or if we went out to eat and my debit card was being denied, like, I know the character of my friend, and I know that he would just go ahead and flip the bill for me, because that's who he is. That's just how he would be. And I was flipping through my Bible just right now when you were reading Psalms, and I found a $100 bill. And it's from my friend Christian in Indiana. And I didn't know he put it in there. And it just goes to show that God has that same character in our lives. That there was a question asked that do handicapped people that can't quite understand or grasp maybe the things of God, do they go to heaven? And you know, the Bible doesn't speak about that, but we do know God's character. And the Bible says that God is gracious. He says that He's merciful. He says that He's loving. He says that He's long-suffering. And we can trust in that. When we have questions about things like that, we can trust in God's character and who He says He is. In the same way, when I experience things in my life and I come into a situation, I think of God and His character is to bless us. His character is to be there for us, even when maybe we don't deserve it. So on the issue of that, God's character is very good, and He's very gracious to us.
He is good. Speaking of good, let's eat. Hey, let me just say this real quick before we do that. We're going to let eighth graders line up first, since this is your... Wait, before you get up, hold on. We're going to pray. Everybody take a seat. But let me just say this. Every Q&A buffet that we do, the leaders have to go around afterwards and pick up a bunch of trash outside. And I get in trouble every once in a while for all the trash that gets left everywhere. So if you guys... Does anybody like the food that we...